Hey, 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 everybody. Another wonderful episode of Common Sense Uncensored today. And we're going to be tackling North Dakota politics, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and with heavy emphasis on the ugly. And today my guest is Mitchell Sanderson. Mitch, say hi to everybody.
Hello, everyone.
And Mitch, full disclosure, used to be one of my students at Northland because I was blessed to be able to teach all different kinds of folks from different ages and stuff. And he's been having a wonderful time. And I'm going to have Mitch start out by telling you what's going on in his life right now. And it starts with some fun stuff that's been happening in Walsh County. And Mitch, you've been having some problems. Let me have a little bit of insight into what's been going on with you.
Okay, one issue we got in Walsh County is I was kicked out of the Republican Party for telling the truth at a nominating committee. I got up and spoke about where money's going, money nobody knows about, things that are happening and not happening. And about 3-4 days later, I had an email from the NDGOP, the executive director, Corey Kemmer, and I was kicked out of the party and my dues were being returned. Now, this is in violation of state law in Chapter 16.1, it's election law. They have to have a vote of 2/3 of the whole caucus in your district to do this. So they violated state law, kicking me out of the party. They initially said that I violated party platform rules, which I didn't. And I clearly pointed that out to them. They're the ones that violated state law.
So basically, you got up and exercised your free speech rights at a meeting where you believed that people should listen to you because the job of the Republican Party, the Democrat Party, whatever party, is to listen to the will of the people and take those things into consideration. And they basically said, hit the bricks, buddy.
Yep. Under Perry Schaefer and Doug Burgum, this Republican Party is pretty dirty. It's definitely corrupt. They violate the law. They're held accountable to no one. You go to law enforcement, you go to everybody. The governor's charged with seeing every law in the state's enforced. He will do nothing when a law is violated by the GOP. The GOP is too far gone. It's broken. We need to replace it, and that's why we're starting the Trump North Dakota GOP to be a party that actually works for the people and will enforce the laws.
Okay, now, one of the things that I got to ask you is, how are you starting that party? Do you just say, I declare I'm a party? What does it involve to actually get another party in the state of North Dakota?
Well, I was involved with libertarians a little bit in the past because I like the idea of limited government, and government can get the heck out of our life. They can do their job that's given to them by statute. But right now you have to get 7,000 signatures.
Holy mackerel.
It's not that bad. We'll have them. We do need a little more help if people want to, because we want to get extra, because we know our great Secretary of State likes to throw out signatures by the handfuls.
Well, I happen to know that there is a petition that went around regarding term limits.
Yes.
And from what I've been able to understand from actually a former legislator, there was 5 signatures, and they had well over the amount that they needed, and there were 5 signatures that were questionable. And so apparently, currently, they're holding that one up. They're not doing anything with it. They've got it stuck in limbo because there are enough signatures for that to go forward. But, of course, they don't want it to go forward.
Right.
So based on 5 signatures, when they have a whole bunch over that they said were questionable, they refuse to say why they're questionable. But they're going to hold that entire petition up until what they hope is people forget about it, it times out, or it goes away.
Well, if it times out, it won't get on the ballot. But this is where there are election laws in Chapter 16.1 where courts have to address this in a timely manner. And from talking to some of the people involved in that, I wasn't. But I do agree with term limits now. When we're seeing the corruption at the federal level and in Bismarck, we need term limits. We can't have career politicians that are crooks.
Well, I don't think we need career politicians, even if they're not crooks, for the simple fact that the problem is the fact that a lot of people that I know probably start out very honestly, very legitimately, with good intentions. But the longer they're there, power is very seductive.
Yes.
And so is the money that follows that power. So when you've got money and power, and it seems to be unlimited, there's very few human beings in the world that can withstand that for long periods of time. And so as you go forth, when you've been someplace for 20, 30, 40 years, or in the case of our federal government, there are people that have been, I mean, Biden, 50-some years, and what has he done? What's his record? His record is basically he's sent his son to the Ukraine and made millions of dollars. He's got millions of dollars coming through from China and everything else, and he's done not much else, but he keeps getting elected. Therefore, term limits to me make vastly, vastly great sense.
Right. We can do the whole list of people there, like Pelosi, Nadler, all those guys, Schiff. We can't have career criminals, and that's what they really are. What they're doing right now at the federal level is absolutely disgusting, doesn't even touch it. They're violating, blatantly violating laws. They're going after moms and school boards. You know the whole spiel. It's disgusting how they weaponized the DOJ. I've actually contacted the DOJ and the FBI with my issues, too. Crickets.
Well, I know that technically... I'll be honest, I'm a terrorist because I took a look out on the FBI listing of what constitutes a terrorist. The Betsy Ross flag, if anyone displays the Betsy Ross flag, that is a terrorist signal. I have shoes with the Betsy Ross flag on them. I've got high top sneakers. So I apparently am now a terrorist because I have been able to embrace the Betsy Ross flag. So the FBI will probably be coming for my footwear very quickly here. I just want you to know that I hope they unlace them before they rip them off my body. But it's gotten to this idiotic point. But at the same time, Antifa flags, BLM flags, all of these things like that. Again, like you said, crickets.
Yeah, support the blue flags aren't allowed, or shirts at certain workplaces. Right now, if a guy wanted to boycott businesses, you wouldn't be able to buy a damn thing. There's so many woke companies out there, like Disney. Yeah, you can go down the list. Starbucks coffee, Levi Blue Jeans, Goodyear tires. It's Coke backpedaled really fast when they come out because their sales dropped, like, I think in 1 week, just tanked.
Yeah, it's go woke, go broke. Papa John's is having a real tough time. They used to be ranked consistently one or two as far as top pizza chains. They're now down next to Little Caesars, apparently, and they just can't seem to pull their heads out long enough to realize that business requires you to serve all your customers, not just the ones that happen to be conveniently proper at this time.
Yep, there was just a lawsuit I heard on the radio coming up here where a business in Minnesota had to pay out $500 to someone for refusing to serve them, but the customer, all they would do is meow. They identified as a cat.
Sweet Jesus.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, we already know that we've entered crazy town. When somebody can burn down Minneapolis, burn down Portland, burn down Seattle, and I can be arrested for having Betsy Ross flag on my tennis shoes.
Right.
So we've entered craziness, and that's kind of at the federal level. But what a lot of people don't seem to understand, because I talk to a lot of folks every day, and they're like, well, but that's at the federal level. We don't have any problems like that in North Dakota. And I just smile at them and I go, oh, how much time have you got? So what would you say to the individual that looks at you, Mitch, and says, that's the federal level? In fact, I heard it just this morning. We're one of the most conservative states in the union.
Not
Mitch,
even close.
Take it away.
Not even close. What we have are rhinos. And rhinos are Democrats. Their voting record shows it. Everyone from Burgum to the Attorney General's office, Secretary of State's office, I can go down the list. You do open records with Office of Management and Budget, they won't get back to you. Land management, when you want to find out how much land or businesses are owned by China, nothing. They don't even get back to you. They're violating open record laws when they do this blatantly. The Ethics Commission is an absolute joke. I agreed with it. I voted for it. But the Ethics Commission, I put in about 10 complaints of violations of law. They won't enforce it. And this is a committee that was handpicked by Doug Burgum. I knew it was going nowhere.
Well, that's the problem. We have laws on the book
that aren't enforced by judges.
That aren't enforced by anyone. And this is a problem because their answer to that is exactly as with establishing the Ethics Committee. We'll write more laws. Mm-hmm. We'll put together another committee. But if that committee or those laws aren't going to be enforced as well, what they're doing is they're burying us under laws and bureaucracy that will never be enforced. And they keep telling us what a great job they're doing.
Right.
And people believe it.
Yeah, people do fall for this. I do believe people in North Dakota are waking up more. One thing I'd like to add to that is we are doing in Home Rule City and Home Rule County charters what they call a citizen grand jury indictment process, where the citizens can actually bring it. And it's going to be put to a vote of the people in those counties or cities, because the legislature actually about two sessions back took this out. It was House Bill 1451, if I remember. And they took away the people's right to bring charges against the government. That should tell you people everything that are listening, that this government does not want the people to have any say. But under Home Rule County Charter statutes, you can supersede state laws. You can actually write a law and put it into your charter or your ordinances where you can remove a judge, you can remove a sheriff, you can remove a state's attorney if they're found guilty of committing crimes or negligent and deliberately violating the law themselves. And we have that going on in Walsh County.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. Home rule worries me a little bit because we've talked about that in Grand Forks.
Right.
And part of the reason that it bothers me is because whichever group happens to be in charge during home rule, they're going to have the ability to put forth extra taxes. In fact, in the exact same phrase in Grand Forks when they talk home rule, they're talking about their ability to add an additional sales tax over and above and right. everything else. And when I see that much power centralized in the people, like the mayor and the city council and the county council, it terrifies me.
I agree. That part of it is sticky. Taxes should be put to a vote of the people, period.
Excellent.
Just like our legislators should not be able to vote themselves a raise or hotel allowance or food allowance. That if we, the people, think they're doing a good job, put it on the ballot every 2 years and we'll decide if you get a raise or not.
Well, what about the fact that we can't access any of our legislators' emails when they're written on state-owned laptops involving state business, supposedly, and yet we can't access any of their emails at all, which seems to me to be pretty much open records, should it not?
Actually, if you read the open record statutes, if they're in session, no legislators' emails are open to open records, and they can just attach a legislator's name on. Like, they can be doing something under the table or that the public might not want to see, and all they have to do is attach a legislator. Say they attach Senator Yana Myrdal to it. Now that is not open to public record anymore. That's in our open record laws. And this is what our government's doing. Doug Burgum keeps talking about transparency.
Oh, God.
That guy is far from transparency. He is a great showman. He is a great fake Republican. He is, in my opinion, a socialist elitist. And he is destroying this state, and people need to stand up and get him out of office.
Well, one of the other things that interests me is the fact that we've had several legislators picked up or stopped. I won't say picked up because that's a misnomer, for drunk driving. And if they're apparently on legislative duty, they're
immunity.
Not touched.
Well, we do got that immunity clause.
Right.
And there again, if the government, there's court cases on this all the way up to the Supreme Court. If they violate the law, they have waived their immunity now. They cannot have legislative or judicial immunity. Sheriffs have all kinds of immunity. In my county, in Walsh County right now, the sheriff is refusing to investigate crimes with the evidence given to him, with the law given to him. State's attorney's doing the same thing. And they're deliberately refusing to do their duty to the people.
Well, how can they get away with this? Is it because, again, they're the people that enforce the law, therefore, if they choose not to enforce that law, rather like it happened in Minneapolis when BLM not only burned down that neighborhood, but blocked it off and took over and only allowed certain people into those neighborhoods, and everybody just basically ignored it and went, well, okay, apparently we just won't go there.
Okay, people need to take note of what's going on there with the government. And just like what happened at Mar-a-Lago here this past week, you cannot keep your attorney out. You cannot order them to shut their video surveillance cameras off. You have to show someone the warrant and what the warrant specifies. The whole thing stinks there. And that's what our government does here, too. And they do retaliate against you. I was just kicked off a jury pool by the state's attorney in Walsh County because she said I would be biased according against the county. I am not a biased person. I everything I do works on evidence. The support of that evidence. I am a moral person. And if I'm on a jury pool, I will listen to all the evidence. And it, you're either guilty or not guilty, or you can't be proven to be guilty. And in that case, you've got to be dismissed. And I would be as honest as anyone could be. I would not be biased. The state's attorney and the judge kicked me off when the defending attorney wanted me to stay on. And I can tell you for a fact, that judge has violated the Federal Hatch Act and the North Dakota Corrupt Practices Act and is going to get sued. I'm working on attorney complaints and judicial complaints against them too right now.
We're going to get back to that. But first thing we're going to do is we're going to take a wonderful commercial break for one of my best places here, Southtown Poorhouse, where every day is a great day at Southtown Poorhouse. Stop in for your favorite drinks and, of course, happy hour, half-price apps and taps every day from 4 to 6. And you can't forget about Buck Burgers on Tuesdays and their awesome steak specials Thursdays at 6. Make sure to check out Southtown Poorhouse events page and find out when your favorite band is playing live. It's almost fall. The bands will be back. Love my live music. Every day is a great day at Southtown Poorhouse, which is located at 2015 Library Circle, next to the Grand Cities Mall. They're open Tuesday through Saturday from 4 p.m. to 2 a.m. And they're now hiring, where you can find great pay, flexible hours, part-time or full-time work, employee discounts, and of course, free cover on band nights. Southtown Poorhouse. Check them out. All right. I want to ask you a little bit about the judge and stuff and the fact that they violated these laws and that you're going to sue them. The fact that you have to do that is terrifying. But what can you give me a little bit more behind that?
Okay. When we did the Walsh County Initiative for Equal Shared Parenting, at the time, the state's attorney was Barb Whalen, who is now the Burgum-appointed judge. And I can tell you, she'll violate rules of court. She'll dismiss a case without even her being assigned to it and any letters coming out from the clerk of courts. But what she really did when she was state's attorney, she conspired with the attorney general's office to overthrow a citizen's initiative in Walsh County, which violates the Federal Hatch Act and the North Dakota Corrupt Practices Act. You cannot either support or oppose a measure if you're a government employee. And she did that blatantly. I have the emails.
Well, you know, that's the thing that bothers me so much is it's not just at the federal level where this is happening with, like, Mar-a-Lago and stuff, but I've been seeing a lot of it at all the levels, whether it's the city, the county, the sheriff's department or whatever, and it's just becoming where I'm seeing the government being used, the judicial branch, the legislative branch, all of these things, they're being weaponized.
They are. We have rules of court. We got rules of civil procedure. We got administrative rules and laws. We got state law. We got case law. We got constitutional law. They don't follow it. They do whatever they want. They'll ignore it. Like when I got kicked out of the Republican Party, that statute is clear. The judge ignored it completely. That judge is Carrie Agotnis from Cavalier. She isn't a Burgum appointee again. We don't have justice in our courtrooms. We have lawlessness in our courtrooms, plain and simple.
Well, it's fairly obvious when you look at a lot of the stuff that's going around. The thing is the fact that none of this is seeing light of day with our media.
No.
We're not seeing any of this covered in any of our papers.
No.
Certainly not on any of our talk radio stations, TV. Forget about that. We're seeing the fact that just like at the federal level, they seem to have control of the media. So the spin's in. They seem to have control of the legal part. So that's if they don't want to have something furtherly investigated, it won't be. And then they write the laws just to make everybody feel good that they know aren't going to be enforced.
Yep. And you see it in the legislature, too. It's not just in our judiciary. Our legislature actually violates laws on some of their bills. They'll actually have subcommittee meetings. They won't take minutes, which is against the law. If an amendment's put in there, that's not in any amendments. And then they come to the Senate floor on this one I'm thinking of. They didn't even read the amendment on the Senate floor, which they have to, and then they vote on it and they pass it. People need to understand how really dirty and corrupt our legislators are. They need to hold them to task. People seriously need to get out and start recalling these guys. Get a good candidate that can win. Expose them any way you can. Social media, flyers. I've had a friend that tried to put articles in the papers, and they refuse to let them put the articles in. That's censorship by our media.
Well, you know, we're all used to seeing censorship on social media. I'm suspended for 90 days on Facebook again. Big surprise. But you figure that we've been told, and again, we've been told, that you should be able to trust your local news because they're the people that are closest to the story. And I'm finding out that it's the exact same thing, as you said. Yeah. They only cover the stuff that makes everybody that's in charge look good,
yeah.
And that's it, that end of story.
Yeah, you see that everywhere. You got, and I'll put names out there, you got Scott Hinnon at the federal level when he talks about stuff, I agree with most everything he says. When it comes to North Dakota government, Burgum's got him in his pocket. Chris Berg, used to love the guy. When it comes to the North Dakota government, he won't talk one bit about the crimes going on, and he won't put you on his show to talk about it. When you tell him point blank, I can come in with the evidence and the facts, the law's broken, case law, everything. Put me on. Let me talk, and I'll let the people in North Dakota know what's really going on. They won't do it. They're in their pocket. There's no question about it.
Well, and that's why it's so tough, because I feel a lot of times like I'm screaming into the wind is what the phrase that I use, because I talk to people and I bring this stuff up and they look at me two ways. Either I'm crazy.
Yep. I'm there too.
I have a fashionable little tinfoil hat that I wear. I'm a liar, you know, or I'm just delusional. And I have to go, how can we, because we have all of these roadblocks, obviously I have my podcast and stuff, but how can we get people to at least start to dig and quite frankly start to seem to care? Because a lot of people are like, well, my life is fairly good right now, and so I just don't want to rock the boat. But if you don't rock the boat, what the hell?
Yeah, you're in a good position to do that. I'm not. I'm not extremely wealthy. I worry about my kids, but that's why I'm doing this. When you got a government that's totally out of control, corrupt, there's no other word for it. We probably got RICO statutes that are violated in North Dakota. The people need to stand up. There are more people standing up, but the problem is the fear factor.
Yes.
People are so scared, and I look them right in the eyes when they say they don't want to get involved. I said, just for the fact that you're scared, you know there's a problem, and you should be standing up and fighting for your kids, grandkids, whatever. And there are great people out there standing up. We got Sons of Liberty. We got North Dakota Defend Them, Freedom Fighters, whatever it is. You know, you got us trying to start a real conservative Republican Party that will actually function for the people and not allow corruption in the government. We need people to help out. And once we get this set up and get everyone running for office in each district, we can take these rhinos out. We're not going to go against good conservatives like Rick Becker. I get along with him pretty good. We've had our disagreements, but for the most part, I like Rick Becker. And I just heard on the radio coming up here that I think he's running as an independent.
Good. I hope he does. Here's the thing that I like. I posted in my newspaper, and I don't know how I got that in there, but all I did was post their voting records.
Yes.
And the only thing I put in the headline was, is this the way you would have voted? On things like allowing transsexuals on sports teams in high schools and things like that. And of course, I got accused of dirty politics. The guy that actually put the ad together, he was a former legislator, and I just had... They would not publish it without someone's name on it. So I said, throw my name on it. Go ahead. I've got broad shoulders. And so there was immediately an ethics letter fired off from the Secretary of State's office and everything else. And on top of all that, of course, I'm being labeled as alt-right, a conspiracy theorist, a troublemaker. And I'll agree with the fact that I'm a troublemaker. I mean, I will wear that mantle proudly.
But you do your homework just like I do.
Well,
and if anyone knows you, they know you're telling the truth. And that's part of what the people have to understand here. This is unbelievable when we sit and talk like this. People just don't want to believe that this is going on. It is way deeper and scarier than people can imagine.
Well, you know, psychologically, there's a human response, because we have to look at that. And the human response to a conflict or a big problem is two things: fight or flight.
Right.
And the problem with the flight is, where are you going to run now? Because this is worldwide. This is for centuries, people have come to the United States on the flight portion of the event, because we had at least a modicum of security here. But this time, the game has changed. This time, the United States is part of the target. So where are you going to flee to? So that leaves us with one option. And that option, quite frankly, as much as it is distasteful to a lot of folks, is fight.
That's the only option we have. I tell everybody, you can't be afraid. If we don't put our foot down now and start fighting back and demanding justice, just like I said to the BCI this morning, I said, anyone that has refused to investigate these election crimes will be held liable in a lawsuit. And I'm not going to district court, and I'm going to bounce federal judges that I know are already dirty.
Well, but the problem is, of course, like everything else, this is why people get so, how can I put this, almost shell-shocked.
Oh, yeah.
Because you know what you've gone through. You go to this level, to this level, to this level, to this level, to this level. You're ignored. You're blocked. Yeah. You're called names. You're sent back. Everywhere you look, there's a door being slammed in your face.
Absolutely.
And there's only so much you can put up with that before you sit down and think, all right, that's it. We're just screwed.
Yeah, that's exactly what the BCI did to me this morning. Go back to your local sheriff. He's part of the complaint. So was the state's attorney. And actually, the BCI was, because under Liz Brocker, I was battling with the attorney general's office. So the attorney general's office is part of this complaint. And so is the BCI, because they're refusing to investigate. I sent this to the FBI. Crickets. It's been months. And guy just wonders how long it's going to be until I'm hauled off or they trump up something to get me, like they've been trying for 6 years to get Trump. I'm about as innocent of a person, moral person. Come after me. I'd love to go to court. And then we'll do everything under discovery and we'll prove what I'm saying is true.
Well, here's the thing.
Courts are corrupt. I don't trust them at all.
Well, and the deal is the fact that once you've exhausted everything, where else can you go? What else can you do? What's your next move? Let's say you make it all the way up. And they even, it's almost like going to civil court. Okay, let's say I sued you in civil court for $1,000 for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And I win. I've won the judgment, but that doesn't mean you've got to give me the $1,000. You know what I mean by that? I mean, that I've won under the law, but I haven't necessarily gotten any farther than I was before.
You're right. Judges won't enforce certain orders. I can tell you stories right now where people have won judgments like that. Judge wouldn't enforce them. You know how simple that can be remedied? There's a thing called the sheriff's levy in North Dakota. You have the clerk of courts file a paper signed by the judge, and the sheriff's department will go out and take money from your bank account. Now, I don't like that. But they'll do it without even talking to you. They'll do it without even talking. Your bank won't even tell you. It's happened to me.
So, but if the sheriff and the judge are in the pocket, how are you going to get that? See my point?
Okay. No one runs against judges.
Right.
The incumbent stays an incumbent forever, pretty much. Very rare does someone run against them. And you have to have, it's not in state law to be a judge, that you have to be educated in law. But the North Dakota Supreme Court ruled it that you have to be educated in law.
Well, one would think. But, I mean, sweet Jesus.
But real
quick, you're going to be a judge and you don't have a background in law?
You should. But someone like me and you that probably have read statutes more than we care to, we have to do something to hold our accountability with our attorneys and judges. And the attorney conduct and the attorney judicial complaints that you file fall on deaf ears. The ones I'm filing now, the very first sentence on there, is if you can't find something wrong with this person, I'm going to sue the attorney review board and the judicial board as well. I'm sick and tired of this, even though I know the courts don't work. We need to draw attention to this, and I'm willing to be the punching bag and the guinea pig to do it.
I'm going to do a real quick executive properties profit break here because I want to get back to that because I want to talk to you about, so remember this for the old lady here who loses her concentration, remember talking about finding a lawyer in North Dakota, but executive properties. All right, here we go. Are you ready? Katie, can you take it away for me?
Oh, yeah.
Hey! Let me know when to go back.
Okay, you're good.
Okay, good job. All right, so my friends and I have been filing FOIAs and have been doing a lot of other things like that, and it's come down to the fact where we've probably realized we need to sue. And I have to tell you, finding a lawyer in North Dakota willing to do something like that, I have better chance of finding teeth in my hens because everybody we've talked to says, hell no, not going to lose my license for you.
That's right, even though you have the evidence to support it. We've even seen this in the primary election here in Grand Forks with Ron Barta. No lawyer will touch him. No one will help him. And I've spoken with him a little bit, messaging him, and I told him I'm going to start looking into this. And if I have to as a third party, I will do it for him. I will help him file this stuff. And we need more people to do this. I'm not an attorney, but I have studied law long enough to where I know case law. I know how to find it fast. I know state law, constitutional law, you name it. It's out there. Problem is, judges just ignore what they don't want to enforce upon us. You can go back to, I'll just give a real quick example. When Del Ripple and Taylor run for governor, both of them filed paperwork wrong to be on the ballot. The Libertarian candidate at the time filed the paperwork wrong. He was thrown off the ballot. He could not be on the general election. But the Secretary of State did not throw Taylor and Del Ripple off. They filed under open records. We found out they did the same mistake. By law, they should not have been on the general election. Our North Dakota Supreme Court ruled one way against the Libertarian. 6 months later, 180 different. We have lawlessness, and I want to bring this one up. There's a North Dakota Supreme Court case from 1897 that still gets quoted by our Attorney General's office, and it says right in there, judges can act with malice, misconduct, and corruption, and they're immune from prosecution. That's a North Dakota Supreme Court ruling that should scare the hell out of people. But in reality, the U.S. Supreme Court's ruled that once you break the law, you act outside the scope of your authority, you no longer have your immunity. You waived it. But our Attorney General will argue they have full immunity. They don't.
Well, we've seen some of this because it was fairly obvious when Stenjum died and those 23 years of emails magically disappeared in a frantic email thing where he kept everything. We need to get rid of those emails and everything else. And we were told that there was no law violated. But Century Code and a whole bunch of other laws were violated, yet the lady was allowed to resign. I'm sure because of the years that she's worked there, I'm sure she got a wonderful severance package and she certainly has a pension, yet law was violated. And everybody's running around telling everybody there's nothing to see here. But when I look at the law, and like you said, I'm not a lawyer, but I look at the law and I'm left going, what the hell?
Yeah, Drew Wrigley, and I'm going to be real blunt with this, totally lied to us when he said no laws were violated. Under Chapter 54 and Chapter 44, open records, that both those laws were violated. And we can't have someone like him as our Attorney General. I wish there would be some moral lawyer that would run against him as a Republican. At this point, I don't care what's behind your name. Just someone that's actually going to enforce the law upon the state. The Attorney General is also supposed to represent the people. That's in statute, too. If we bring crimes to him like I have, and he's ignored them, totally ignored them, what the BCI said this morning is we don't look into those things. They look into election law violations all the time. I was actually investigated in 06 when we did our first shared parenting initiative because some of the people that were hired by a temporary hiring agency to get signatures started writing out of the phone book. Well, I never met those people. I had nothing to do with them. They broke the law. Again, nothing really happened to them. But now they're going after the term limit people that collected signatures. They got nothing to stand on. If you're going to let the NDSU football players get away and still play in their championship game, how the hell can you charge anybody now? You set precedents that you can break the law. No one's going to be held accountable. Then they start arguing that you can't pay per signature. But I paid on a prorated basis, which isn't per signature. It's just if you got so many, you got more pay during the day. And they're trying to do that, too, to the term limit people. And from what I understand, the investigation is supposed to be done, and it's in Ward County. Ward County can't touch this with the precedent that's been set already.
Well, the thing that really freaks me out is the blatant double standard
right across
the board. And they're not even worried about trying to hide it anymore.
Not anymore.
They're just blatantly going, screw you and the horse you rode in on, and learn to live with it because we're in charge and you're not.
Yeah, and what's that called?
Tyranny.
Yeah, police state tyranny. We cannot have a double-tiered legal system. And that's what we have in North Dakota. It's not just at the federal level. And anyone that's listening to this, go ahead and sue me. I want to be sued. I'll bring the evidence. I know you won't do it because you know you'll get buried. This government needs to be brought down. It's back to working for the people if it ever did. But our laws are plenty good enough on the books. If our courts actually did the right thing, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in.
Well, I happen to know even in my own district, District 20, we went to the nominating committee to get the people on the ballot, and there were three incumbents, two for the House and one for the Senate. And what happened was one of the House guys, who was an incumbent, didn't make it. He got voted out. And another guy got voted in, and you could tell that was totally unexpected for him because he was running around pretty pissed off. And so what he did was he did what was legal. He went out and got signatures to get on the primary ballot and got the guy that the people that had come out with had booted off. He beat him.
Right.
And so now he's on the ballot. So now it's back to exactly the same three people that Burgum backs with his PACs. And in fact, during the race for the primary, after he got the signatures, I must have received 14 to 15 flyers and mailers and stuff, all backed by Burgum money,
right,
and things like that. And so what we're seeing is we're not even seeing anything close to the will of the people anymore, even within the Republican Party itself. What we're seeing is the king of North Dakota buying and paying for the dukes and duchesses that he wants involved with making laws for the serfs that are simply there to be continued to be taxed and taxed and taxed. We have, let's see, our state now has over $30 billion in savings and investments. That's about $40,000 for every man, woman, and child in the state. North Dakota as a state is putting away almost another $1 billion annually in additional cash and investments. That's $1,330 for every man, woman, and child. And these numbers are after funding a $13,780,292,757 state biennium budget. So that's $17 billion, basically. All right? We've got all this money, but can we get our property taxes to go away?
Do you know under the North Dakota Constitution, property taxes are illegal? And what Governor Burgum's doing, have an undue influence over the legislature, is also illegal under the North Dakota Constitution. No attorney will hold them accountable in this state, and no judge will.
They're afraid to lose their law licenses if they're attorneys, and if they've been appointed by Burgum, what would be their impetus to actually enforce the law?
Follow their oath of office or get the hell out?
I've been realizing a lot lately that oaths of office, honesty, character, and a whole bunch of other things have apparently left the building.
Long time ago.
And have been replaced by what's in it for me.
Yes.
When we mentioned the media and the fact that the media won't cover anything bad against Burgum and the rest of them, there's advertising dollars and everything else at stake. I get that. But I also have to say that when the media was designed, it was designed not to care about that, supposedly. That
way
they
back
were
when.
They were supposed to do the story and then.
Yeah. Well, the days of Walter Cronkite, when you actually give the news, unbiased news, are over. You know, back then in those days that I was still a little kid, but it seemed like they might have been honest. I can tell you for a fact from having people in the service, what we're being told isn't true about what's really going on in some of these foreign countries.
Oh, yes, yes.
It's pretty scary how controlled. When Burgum was running his first time, I spoke with him a couple times, and he told me flat out he had Scott Hannon on his side. We already talked about Scott Hannon and Chris Burg. They are in Burgum's pocket. They will not say anything negative about him. You can send them the facts, the evidence, the proof of crimes being committed and who did it, and they won't touch it. We can't have media like that.
Well, and the other thing that bothers me so much is we've got all of this money that the entire state is sitting on, and yet we keep seeing our property taxes go up, even as they're telling us they're going down. And I own a bunch of property here, so I get to look at my property tax statements, and they're telling me how good I've got it, how it's going down. And I can tell you on the paper, the hell it is.
Mine went up 20% last year. Our legislators are running on low taxes. They're not saying not raising anymore. Well, one of the things I tell people is, like Hovind said, we held the line on taxes.
Bullshit. Yeah. Excuse me.
Yeah, BS on that, but he also raised fees and everything that the state does around the state. They're getting money in. You got to remember, these people are politicians. Everyone knocked Trump for being a businessman. We need a politician. I want it the other way around. You're a business instructor. You are real world. You know how things work. You're not a politician. I'm not a politician. We need statesmen, stateswomen that are butt kickers to get in there and do what's right for the people.
Well, what bothers me so much is they talk about eliminating the income tax. That will do nothing.
Especially for the elderly.
Yes, we have elderly people who are retired who have paid their property tax, their income tax. They've paid their dues. And one of my ideas was the fact that what we need to do is, if you're retired and you've spent a minimum of 20 years in the state, your property taxes should disappear. We do plenty of these wonderful TIFs for all these businesses coming in, the Foo Fangs, for Burgum to have his company remodel downtown. We've got TIFs up the wazoo for all of these things. But we don't have a damn safety net for our elderly people. And what's happening is their property taxes are going up. They're on fixed incomes. They're being forced out of their homes. And other people are buying their property. Oh, but we're going to solve that because we're going to get rid of the income tax. Have you listened to a thing I said, you dumb SOBs?
Right. And I brought that out real heavy with our legislators when the oil boom hit on the West. They kicked grandma and grandpa out of their apartments where they were paying $500 a month. They jacked up the rent to $1,500. They couldn't afford it. So I'm sending all my legislators, all of them throughout the whole state, will you do something to stop this? I get capitalism. But when grandma and grandpa are getting thrown to the curb, we have a problem with the capitalistic system, and we can't do that to our elderly. Our elderly need to quit voting for the same old SOBs.
Yes.
They have to quit. But just because, I'll just do full disclosure here. I was a Democrat growing up. I was poor. We had 9 kids in our family. My dad was a sergeant in the Marine Corps. If I lied, I got my butt kicked. So I don't lie, number one, people, and I can prove everything I say. Just challenge me, and I'll shut you up real fast. But we cannot be doing what we're doing to the elderly. Our legislators don't care. It's all about money. Everything's all about money, control, and
follow
power.
The money.
And the fear factor is ridiculous, how scared people are.
Well, and like you said, that's the thing. If you are scared of your government, Houston, we got a problem.
Yeah.
And the thing is what they don't understand is what happens to the poor and the elderly will eventually come home to roost for everybody else, because they're going to end up raising your property taxes so much that even if you're working, you've got to eat with inflation, you've got to pay gas and everything else, you're not going to be able to afford your place either. And that means that you're going to fall behind on your property taxes. With property taxes, you own nothing. You are renting the government.
You never own your property, and they will take it. I'd like to add something just for you Democrats out there that are hardcore yet following this party. I dropped this party. I dropped the Republican Party years ago. I gave up on our government. I, from my experience, I've worked with the government as a legislative chairman for a union in the past. I've seen how bad it was. And I don't even know what to say anymore. People need to wake up. We can scream from the tallest tree. People just need to really get the facts. I lost a friend of 28 years because of his blindness and the way he was treating me. I treated him with respect for his beliefs. But I had to finally cut him off. He was causing me too much stress. I have too many important things I need to accomplish for my kids and the people of the state of North Dakota. And I am promising the people of North Dakota, I am fighting for you. I will never stop. If I get into office, I will not be your typical corrupt person. I know you won't. You will fight for the people. I know for a fact you are honest and a hard person. I wouldn't get in your way, put it that way.
I've gone up against school administration to defend my students and stuff. And it was kind of funny because the word was out, she's got a successful program. Her students love her. Just don't mess with Kitten. Everything will be fine.
People of District 20, you got to understand, this lady's telling you the truth. Vote for her. We need someone like her in there. If you don't, you get the government you don't vote for.
Well, and so many people are voting for the letter behind it, the R or the D, just blindly trusting. And I have to tell you, I used to be a Republican. And I used to believe both my husband. My husband was a Democrat and he became a Republican when he married me, not because I'm that good, but because of the business background and stuff. And we were really on board. And then, like you, we started watching things and we went, wait a minute, this isn't making sense and that's not making sense. Now, I've never been somebody to just ride over the cliff blindly. And so we had, I will call it a come to Jesus moment, where I went, oh my God, I've been lied to for years and I'm wrong. Yep. I was blind. And that's a hard pill to swallow.
It is. And you just hit on something else that's a real pet peeve of mine. Our religious communities need to all come together and start speaking the true gospel of what's going on. And I'm not talking biblical right now. Your ministers, pastors, preachers, priests, whatever, they have to start talking to their congregations about how this is a war against good against evil, what's going on right now. This is not R against D anymore. This is good against evil.
Well, and that's the problem. It's going to do nothing but, as I see it, escalate. But one thing we got to do right now, it's our last commercial break here, and we are going to be promoting right now the Mayor's Back the Badge Ride, which is going to be on August 24th from 4:30 to 9:30. The Mayor's Back the Badge Ride is back for its second year, and Mayor Brandon Baczynski is excited to invite UTV, ATV, motorcyclists, and even golf cart enthusiasts together to enjoy a family-friendly recreation within the Grand Forks city limits while supporting the Grand Forks Police, the Grand Forks Sheriffs, and the University Police Department. Now, I also know that Katie's talking about bringing her Segway, so we'll have to see. We'll have to see what goes. Is it a Segway or is it a, what is it, a... Yeah, what have you've got? It's not a Segway.
It's a hoverboard you can ride on.
Okay. Well, she's going to bring her hoverboard, so y'all be watching for Katie and give her plenty of room.
I did last year.
All right, see? We're set. So she's going to be there, folks. And as part of the festivities this year, we are excited to announce Zero Gravity Outreach, a motorbike and quad aerial display. I don't even know what that is, but I'm excited to try to figure it out. Here's a chance to show off your support for these brave men and women who dedicate themselves each day to protecting our community. Schedule of events to come soon. That's the Mayor's Back the Badge Ride, August 24th. Register, go to themayorsbackthebadgeride.com. And I have to say, you know, we've been talking, taking some sheriff's departments and the judicial system and stuff to task, and even the FBI. And I've got to tell you, I know some of these people, and the rank and file aren't necessarily happy, but they have a chain of command and they have to do what they're told. So I don't want anybody to treat anyone who works for an agency poorly, but I do want you to be awake and understand that when we complain about things like a sheriff or a judicial person on this show, it's about that individual. And it's about the fact that the system of which they are in charge is no longer working for us. And like with everything else in your life, you have to be discerning. All right. Not everybody who is Christian is Christianly.
That's true.
Okay. Just because I know plenty of folks that run around telling me how Christian they are, and I look at them and I go, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, how you doing with that? Because you're not really exhibiting it too much. And so I have to say, check things out. Do your research. Research your individual candidates that are running for office. Look at who your sheriff is, more than just the yard sign. Don't just drive down the block and count yard signs, for Lord's sake.
Right. And I can add to that, I asked the governor, I asked my sheriff and the adjutant general if they would enforce an unconstitutional executive order. And neither, all three of them would not even reply to me. When you got a government that's not responsive to people, we have a problem.
Well, and we've got a government that's also being very misrepresentative. And by that I mean, whenever I hear someone talk about the Second Amendment and they go, well, you get to keep your shotguns because I'm a hunter too. And I'm sitting there going, the Second Amendment is not about hunting.
Right.
The Second Amendment is for defense against a tyrannical government. And therefore, whenever somebody brings up, you can still hunt your deer, I look at them and go, have you read the Constitution, you flaming moron?
Mm-hmm.
Because this is not what it's about. But, and by the way, an AK-47 is an assault weapon. An AR-15 is not. It looks scary. Mm-hmm. In fact, I look damn scary, and I'm really just kind of a little love muffin. But, I mean, that doesn't mean I should be outlawed. And these people are idiots.
What they don't talk about is the millions of people that were saved by law-abiding gun citizens. I'm one. I'm concealed carry. I carry it all the time. I hope I never, ever
Absolutely.
Have to pull my firearm, but I will do it in my defense or defense of others.
I conceal carry, too. I am constantly with a weapon, and I hope to God that I never have to use it either. The only time I've ever had to use it so far is I actually, unfortunately, had to have contact with a deer, and I had to dispatch said deer because it was suffering, but I considered that a fairly legitimate thing, and I was damn glad I had my weapon on me. But I have to say, I was raised by a military family to believe you never want to defend yourself at any chance. Take the opportunity to walk away,
right.
But if the opportunity does not present itself,
right.
Then fight like the third monkey getting on the ark.
Right. Well, you got crazy legislators. These red flag laws are unconstitutional. It violates the due process, which our judges and state's attorneys violate due process all the time. We got legislators in D.C. showing a video. It's on YouTube. They're arguing against the use of an AR-47 or AR-15 or whatever. And they're saying, why does anyone need this? And it's a video of someone shooting a watermelon. You know what weapon is shooting that watermelon? A shotgun, and this lady called it an AR.
Well, you know what else? I've never been attacked by a watermelon. So, I mean, if that's what we're fighting against, maybe we need to outlaw watermelons because it sounds to me like they're damn dangerous.
Well, we got legislators that have no clue what they're doing.
Well, here's the thing. They say you don't use an AR for hunting. I do. I hunt varmints.
Short distance, an AR is very good.
Well, and I hunt varmints. We coyote.
Yep.
We coyote hunt, and we are actually requested a lot by farmers and stuff with cattle.
Mm-hmm.
We go up and ask if we can hunt coyotes on their property, and they're like, hell yeah, mm-hmm. Because they're with less and less people actually hunting, they're becoming a problem. And you are not hunting a coyote with a shotgun.
More people are killed by hammers every year than by weapons. Guns, knives, more cars. Are we taking all them away, too?
Well, no. I got to tell you, I was actually completely kicked off from posting and commenting or doing anything else on Facebook because this was the discussion that was occurring was on guns. And I down in the comments said, here's the deal, gang. I could kill you right now with a spork.
Yeah.
I said, because all I have to do is jam it in your eye. And I said, I could also take the palm of my hand and hit you on the bridge of the nose. And if I hit you at the right angle with the right force, I'm going to shove your nose into your brain. You're dead.
Right.
And I got banned for violating community standards because I spoke poorly about apparently killing people. And I'm like, you guys are just clueless.
Yet the Taliban can keep their site up.
Yes, on Twitter and everything else.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just...
People need to wake up. I know this sounds unbelievable, folks. I can support everything I'm saying. Kit can support. We're not people that just blatantly do this kind of stuff. We're telling the truth. We have to wake up. People need to take your government back.
The other thing that I want people to understand is this. I don't want to do this.
Right. I don't want to do any of this. I want to love my time free with my family.
Absolutely.
I do not, but I cannot in my heart, my mind, let this go anymore.
I'm a little old retired lady.
I wouldn't mess with you.
Just a little old retired lady. I want to just be able to go to the gym, have a good time, play with my puppy dogs, throw the ball for them,
yep.
Be in my garden watching my flowers grow, and be left alone. And
the mental
damn
and
it,
emotion,
you guys won't do it.
The emotional and physical strain that this puts on you, knowing how corrupt things are, knowing that you have your facts, it is very hard to get up every day. It wears on your family
it
members.
Does.
It's not just hard on us. It's hard on our family.
Well, and it's depressing because you feel that point where you've done everything that you should legally,
yeah.
And you're getting nowhere. And so you're in that mode where you're spinning your tires, and every time you turn, there's a door. And it takes a lot of inner strength to get up every morning and go, I'm going to fight some more. But that's what they're counting on. They're mm-hmm. counting on the fact that we're going to give up.
Yep.
We're going to be silenced. We're going to lay down and roll over. And they have got that on the books because that's what the vast majority of people do.
That's what's been happening. But if you look at the groups organizing out there now, I don't think that the government's got much longer left. I do think people are going to start standing up in groves, especially if they get more radical. I am very worried that when the Republicans take back the House from November to January, it is going to be scary police state possible. I hope to God I'm wrong. But they said Trump wouldn't relinquish power. Mark my words, the Democrats are going to do everything they can. The radical Democrats. I grew up a Democrat. I know many nice people, friends of mine that are Democrats.
Exactly.
They just, they're more worried about Trump having a bad tweet. Well, I really didn't. The only one thing I had wrong that or was upset with Trump is when they first started looking at red flag laws. And he backpedaled so fast because they educated him on due process.
Yep.
And that we should not have to go in and prove we're not a nut job.
That's the thing that's really slayed me is how much innocent until proven guilty has gone out the window. And now you have to fight to prove that you even have the right to exist.
I'll just hit on that a little bit. I just talked to a gentleman last week. 28 days he sat in jail from false allegations. And when the medical information come back and all the other information, they found out that the person that made the allegations against him was all lies.
It was a rape charge.
They had to let him go. Something. I don't know if it was rape, but it was sexual. But it was still a bigger issue. He was cheating on his wife with this girl.
Yada, yada.
But then, you know how that goes. You want to drop someone because you got a family to save. You shouldn't have been doing what you were doing. 28 days, this guy sat in jail. No apology, no income return from the court for false allegations. You were arrested without being proven guilty. And we have lost that in this state.
Well, the other thing that bothers me so much is the fact that when someone raises false allegations, they should be
charged. Yes, they don't do it.
And why is that? It's giving carte blanche for anybody to say anything about anyone and have them sit in jail and then skip down the road and go, ha ha, see, even though I didn't win, I won.
Here's a good one. You'll appreciate this. North Dakota had a case that went to the Eighth Circuit. And what the Eighth Circuit decided, this is maybe 5-10 years ago, I can't remember, it's your political free speech right to lie in a political ad.
Sweet Jesus.
Isn't that cool?
Sweet Jesus.
Like we don't have enough problems, Kit, trying to figure out what our legislators are saying or doing? I'm serious. Google that. You will find that.
You know, I'm reaching the point in my 66 years of life where...
You're not supposed to tell people that.
It's okay. I don't mind. I'm going to be 67 here in probably a month and a half, so I'm hanging on to 66 as long as I can.
67 and Paula look pretty good.
Nah, I don't know. All I know is this. I never in my lifetime envisioned me doing this.
Right.
Never.
Right.
Never thought there would be a need. Never thought that I would be the one. And last of all, never believed that I would have to.
Not in this country.
No.
Like I said, my dad was a Marine. He told me what was going on that he saw because he was involved in the tail end of the Cold War. He begged me to stay clear of the government. And he told me what was going on. And, of course, I'm a young teenager in high school being taught whatever. And I argue with him. If my dad was alive today, first words out of my mouth would be, you were right.
Yeah, I understand totally. Because the older I got, the more I've realized looking back that I was, even back in this, you know, the 70s, I graduated from high school in 1973 and stuff. And the propaganda was on the move then. And we were being indoctrinated and we were being led down, I shall say, the garden path. But the one thing I want to do is we've got a couple of minutes left, so I want you to tell people about your party, how they can reach you, and how they can sign that petition so you can get your party on the ballot and everything else. Help me out.
Sure. It's the Trump North Dakota Republican Party, Make America America First Republican Party. We're on Facebook. I also run another Facebook page called ND Corruption. We've been cut off on our Trump page. We were getting about 100 people following us a week, and we just got shut down. We need people to contact us through that page, or you can call and get my phone number. Mitchell Sanderson, you can look me up on Facebook. I will reply to anybody. I won't be like your typical politicians. I will talk to anyone. I don't care if you're on the other side of the aisle. I don't care if you're an independent. But we need help getting the signatures. We need to get help set up in every district that we can run against rhinos and these radical Democrats that just seem to have lost their minds.
Well, I know one thing. We need people to stop trusting, including us. When I taught, the one thing I always told my students was, don't just trust me in what I say either.
Right.
Do your own research. Figure this crap out.
Right.
Make your own decision. Yeah. Take what I say. If you agree with it, still check me out.
Yeah. No, we won't allow people in our party that aren't. If you're going to be criminal, like what the North Dakota GOP is doing right now, getting down to your committee nominating, yep. They play dirty games with that stuff too. There's so much stuff like we could have talked about here. We could have been on all day. Yeah. We have the same platform as the North Dakota GOP. We're the same. The only difference is we will actually enforce that platform, and we will enforce it against our own members. They will be removed from our, and according to state law, with a 2/3 vote, they will be removed from the party if they violate any laws, play dirty games, are corrupt in any way. We won't allow corruption in this party.
Well, the one thing I want to say as we end the program today is this, and that is we need to have people start understanding that writing a law does nothing right. If the law is not enforced.
Absolutely.
We need to have people start doing their research, and we need to have people wake up and understand that North Dakota is not an island of conservative bliss sitting in the midst of chaos. We are chaos.
They have kept this stuff very shut down and quiet, and I'm fairly certain they're going to try to retaliate against us.
Well, I have a feeling that we may both be targets. But the one thing I want to do is thank you so much for your honesty and for your bravery for being here today. And I want to tell everybody, hang in there, folks. We're going to have another bumpy ride next week when I'm bringing on an ex-legislature to talk about more of the fun stuff that's happening in North Dakota. But until then, y'all stay safe. And everybody, bye-bye.